Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. It's an honor and great pleasure to have as my guests today, author and Dallas Morning News Mexico border correspondent, Alfredo Corchado, and his friend, tequilero and restaurant owner, David Sudo, who is in his new book, Homelands, Four Friends, Two Countries, and the Fate of the Great Mexican-American Migration. Thank you for joining me on Puentes. Congratulations, Alfredo.
Thank you, Emily. It's a pleasure to be back with you and your listeners.
It's great to be here, Emily. Great to be in New Mexico.
You're welcome. Well, it's been 5 years since we last spoke with your book, Midnight in Mexico. And that was about a different type of homeland. That was your homeland in Mexico. This one is talking about your homeland here in the United States. Tell me the difference between the two books.
I like to think about it as El México de allá y El México de acá, the Mexico there and the Mexico here in the United States. And the idea actually came about during the book tour of Midnight in Mexico, when I would meet many countrymen or many paisanos from Mexico who would come up to the book signings. And there was one particular person who really influenced me, who's my cousin in Denver, Colorado. And after the book signing, I said, "Do you ever plan to go back to Mexico?" And she said, "Mexico is like a rosebud. It's beautiful, Flor de Capullo, but it just never really opened up for us." And I remember driving back to the hotel that night and thinking, there are so many Mexicans in the United States who would love to go back, but who have built their lives and then contributed so much to this country. That I took it as a way to write a book, write a story that pays tribute to the millions, millions of immigrants, not just Mexicans, but I think immigrants from all over the world, who have given their sweat, their lives to make this a better country. And I think that was a seed that was planted. And then obviously, as an author, you start thinking, how do I tell that story? I mean, that story has been told by many people. It's been a lot of academic books. It's been a lot of other writers. But I thought the unique way to do this was through my friends. And so in many ways, it's also a book about friendship. And I thought about the question that we asked ourselves as friends. I was in Philadelphia in January of 1987, homesick. So in a way, homesick becomes homelands. And met one person, Primitivo Rodriguez, who through him, and on that same night, it was destiny. We met two other Mexicans, one from New Mexico, from Española, Ken Trujillo, a lawyer, politician, and another Mexican from Guadalajara, David Sudo. It was a wintry evening. We came together asking, I think, a very essential question. The very basic question is, we looked at each other, drinking tequila, and we said, how do we fit in this country? What does it mean to be an American? I think it's a question that even resonates more so today. I'm lucky that David Sudo is here with us in the studio.
David, what was your first impression of Alfredo when you met him back in 1987?
Well, you know, at that point, when I was also pretty much just started the restaurant, and as I have only been in the United States for a short period of time, and to meet people that have the same culture, that we have the same conversations, we have the same views of what we were doing in this new homeland, it was very important for me. So when I met Alfredo, Primo, and Ken, it really was a moment that it changed my whole, the rest of my life, literally. You know, I don't know what would happen without me being able to have that friendship, that support, that guidance. I'm the younger one on the group. I'm the baby of the group. So it was a lot of mentoring in there from these guys to me. It was a lot of lessons that I still thank those lessons from them to become a successful business, a restaurant owner, and, you know, the inspiration that I get for the tequila and mezcal company that we have right now. It was due for those long conversations, long evenings, and shared our passions. And, you know, so the first impression I get from Alfredo, it was a very positive, immediately a sense of a great deal of respect for somebody that he was in the same situation that I was, you know, homesick.
You're from Guadalajara, and Alfredo, you're from Durango. Is there a difference between these two?
Well, Durango is a more beautiful state, I think.
I would argue that.
obviously, Guadalajara, I think, is the dream of every immigrant. Because it's the culture, it's the music, it's the tequila, the mariachi, the image that we miss so much in this country. What we long for is really, I think, embodied in Guadalajara.
Jalisco also exports, you know, besides good people, also exports some of the most emblematic symbols of Mexico. You know, as I first say, food, tequila, mariachi. So yes.
So you both made this your homeland, your second homeland.
Actually, I would say that David Zurdo was able to create and build tequilas to later become our homeland. Because, again, we were so homesick. We were so desperate. We were so lonely for something Mexico. And over the years, he was able to bring all of that into his restaurant, Tequilas, which is a block, two blocks from Rittenhouse Square, which is the epicenter of Philadelphia. I mean, it's the center. So when I walk there, it's kind of a symbolic message that the Mexican-American community has become part of the mainstream of this country. To have something in Philadelphia, the birth of a nation, to have a restaurant called Tequilas in Center City, I think is a phenomenal message.
So have you seen the growth of the Mexican-American or the immigrant or the migration of the Mexican-American in Philadelphia as well as in the entire United States? Has it grown or has it diminished?
I think we were so crazy at the time. We thought we were the only four Mexicans in Philadelphia. Obviously, we were wrong. There are hundreds of thousands of Mexicans, many people from Puebla, but people from all over Mexico who live in that region, whether it's Maryland, whether it's New Jersey, New York City, obviously, Pennsylvania.
Delaware. The big state.
But there's some huge, huge communities there. And the same thing happened. I mean, this, again, to put it in perspective, it was 1986. President Ronald Reagan had just supported IRCA, the amnesty. So you had Mexicans come out of the shadows, if you will, and we're suddenly traveling throughout the country and building little communities throughout the U.S. So this was a very, very transformative time in our country. I mean, it's a story about four friends, but in the backdrop, it's really the biggest migration shift that we've seen in the last 30, 50 years.
Different from the Bracero era?
Different in the way that Braceros, I think, was a big wave of immigrants where a lot of the Braceros brought in their families. But I think a lot of people settled where they were working. You know, for example, in my case, it was the San Joaquin Valley. And all my relatives sort of scattered in the San Joaquin Valley. I think IRCA, when I look at my family, suddenly they were able to travel to other regions of the country, Colorado, Oklahoma, other places began little Mexico communities. And I think that was different in that sense.
That was in the 50s.
The Braceros was 50s and 60s, and then IRCA was 80s, 90s to the present.
So have you seen now a change with the new regime that we have with President Donald Trump? Now he's been here over 500 days. Have people in Mexico stopped coming to the United States?
Yes, and I think David can talk about that as a restaurant owner maybe.
Oh yeah, it's very clear how the flow of migration is being reduced drastically. In our industry, you know, it's not a secret, in the restaurant industry employs millions of immigrants. And right now in Philadelphia, New York City, Chicago, due to the tequila company, I travel all over the country in visiting restaurants. And I hear that everywhere. There is a lack of labor from Mexico. That is, the industry has been dependent from that labor for decades. So, you know, Philadelphia has a big renaissance on the restaurant industry in the 1990s and early 2000s. If it wasn't for the migration that we have from people from Puebla especially, now Philadelphia is known also as Puebladelfia. If it was from thousands of migrants, workers that came from Puebla, it will never have that incredible expansion of the restaurant industry as it happened. So
I think in total there was something like a million less Mexicans today than 2007, 2006. So I think people are just beginning to wake up and say, what happened to the Mexicans?
Mm-hmm.
God, we really missed the Mexicans because And it's not just people who provided menial labor, but a lot of Mexicans today who are also creating jobs throughout the country.
They've gone back to Mexico, even though they've been here for a few generations?
Many have gone back to Mexico. Many have been deported, and they've taken back their families. And many in Mexico are saying, you know what? I'm never going to make the money I'm making in the United States, but I have a little job, and I don't have to put up with the hatred that's going on right now. It's so costly. It's so dangerous to cross because of cartels and organized crime. I think a lot of people are thinking twice, three times. But also it's important for Americans to understand that the birth rate in Mexico has declined significantly. I mean, it used to be families were having 7 children per family. It's now 2. So this is, I think, something that people have to sort of think in the very long term is what impact will that have in all these industries?
So how does this book help people understand this Mexican migration?
I'm hopeful that people will look at, especially as you said, you know, it's the political climate in this country, the divisiveness that we're living. I'm hoping that people will pick up the book and read and hopefully enrich themselves in the understanding of what it means to have a neighbor next to you that's a friend in difficult times and bad times. And the people who, you know, if you're in Ohio, if you're in Michigan, if you're in New Mexico, say, who are these people? And I hope this begins to sort of fill in that gap and fill that question that we're in this together. I mean, this is a globalized world that we live in today. It's an integrated country. You know, I can't imagine Mexico or the United States without one another. And they can't because of geography, because of history. We're here for one another. That's why I keep saying it's really a book about friendship.
Well, what about people who are having to be deported, who have never lived in Mexico, that were brought over as a child, like the Dreamers, and having to be going back to Mexico, that are afraid to go back because of the drug cartels? Is the drug violence growing throughout Mexico? Is it just in the border?
It's maybe Debbie can add to this, but it's a situation where last year we had historic numbers. We're now up 20% higher. I'm working on a story about the immigrants who are coming back, the deportados. I mean, there's a little community in Mexico City called Little LA, and there are little communities, neighborhoods throughout Mexico, Guadalajara, Guanajuato, where more and more you have people who don't even speak Spanish, who don't know much about their culture, about their history. And suddenly it's, as one put it, you know, we're like aliens. You know, you arrive in Mars and suddenly you have to figure it out.
So this is for your new book.
Well, that's not from a new book. It's for the next Dallas Morning News story, and my editors are eagerly awaiting that story.
Yeah, but, you know, definitely in the area that I maintain contact and travel most of the time, which is Guadalajara, my hometown, definitely it's been an increase of violence. It's sad to see the number of assaults. We were there just a couple of weeks ago where the entire city was paralyzed due to violence, due to the detention of a couple members of a cartel, and it has an effect in the entire city. It's the second largest city of Mexico, and for the cartels to have the power to paralyze a city of 5 million people, that gives you an idea the level of violence and power that these cartels have. So, yeah, it's very sad to see that.
So does your book touch on that subject as well?
It touches a little bit. I wanted to focus more on this country. But if you're living in the United States, obviously the violence in Mexico is going to find a way to influence you or to impact you. So I touch on it lightly. I mean, the time frame of the story really begins before the violence, before midnight in Mexico. It's sort of the preamble to midnight in Mexico. And then at the end, obviously, I go back to it.
Thank you so much for joining me on Puentes. This is going to be part one, and we're going to have part two, the second edition. And we'll talk more about the music and how David inspired you with the music as well, and like we did with Midnight in Mexico, that you were so inspired by Juan Gabriel's music. Thank you so much. With me, Alfredo Corchado and David Suro, his new book, Homelands, 4 Friends, 2 Countries, and the Fate of the Great Mexican Migration. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.